FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz. It's May 24th, 2018. Well, if you've been following the news, there's plenty afoot in the nation's capital dealing with the Trump campaign, intelligence agencies, etc. But first, before we get to that, as always, make my day, send me an email, kl@carrielutz.com. So getting back to what we're talking about here, there were spies sent to infiltrate the Trump campaign, allegedly, but it seems very likely that was the case. There was monitoring going on by various intelligence agencies of Trump campaign associates, as well as probably Trump and who knows, maybe they were even listening in on Melania. And you know, it's just an amazing time here. Well, Frank Vernuccio is here to discuss it with us. Find Frank over at usagovpolicy.com. Frank, welcome back.
Terry, it's great to be with you again.
And so what of all of these tales coming out? The Inspector General's report, Rod Rosenstein ordering the IG to look into whether or not Trump's campaign was infiltrated by the FBI or the CIA or whomever. What is your take on all this?
Well, it seems, Kerry, that the story of the investigation on Russian collusion has more twists and turns than a Agatha Christie novel. What seemed to be a down point for the Trump administration and the Trump campaign now seems to be turning back against the Democrats themselves, and particularly discussions about a deep state attempt to overturn the results of the 2016 election by enmeshing the Trump administration in what now appears to be a scandal that never existed in the first place. We know now from recent revelations that apparently the FBI, the CIA, and possibly the Department of Justice were engaged in actions meant to weaken the Trump campaign. The latest revelations come from the fact that Cambridge University professor Stephen Halper, whose nickname apparently was the Walrus for reasons I have no idea, tried to get three Trump campaign aides to trust him in 2016 and to talk about issues which the CIA, the FBI, or the Department of Justice could potentially use to embarrass the Trump campaign and subsequently the Trump administration. Now, Kerry, the concept of using the intelligence services of the federal government to attack a political campaign is something that we would expect in a country like Russia. I mean, I don't think any of us would be surprised that Vladimir Putin does this to his political opponents all the time. I still think it is startling to learn that this actually occurred within the United States. But perhaps, Kerry, we shouldn't be too startled. When we look back over the 8 years of the Obama administration and we found things, for example, like the Internal Revenue Service being used to attack the Tea Party, when we saw former Attorney General Loretta Lynch talk about considering criminally prosecuting anyone who simply disagreed with the Obama administration on climate change, well, perhaps we were getting some clues about the way the nature of American politics was really changing.
Yeah, and changing it was indeed. So do you think Obama knew about it? What do you think Obama knew, and when did he know it?
Kerry, I've been part of two administrations on the state and local level, one Democrat and one Republican. And one thing you learn when you're part of any administration is that key important things don't really happen without the knowledge of the people on top. You simply don't have the authority to do that on your own. And if you try, you quickly find yourself out the door and without a job. It is incredible to me that these actions, whether by Loretta Lynch at the Department of Justice, John Brennan at the CIA or James Comey and Bob Mueller when they were running the FBI didn't occur without the permission and the go-ahead from the White House itself. And indeed, I think that is why you're seeing the ferocity of this battle over the Russian collusion story breaking apart and why there's so much vehemence on the part of the Democrats to prevent this story from falling apart and to going in the direction it seems to be going in now, which is turning itself against the Democrats. Because when the truth comes out, as I suspect it eventually will, the people who are going to be the bad guys in the piece, the villains in the piece, are not going to be the Trump campaign, but in fact are going to be federal officials such as John Brennan, Loretta Lynch, James Comey, and perhaps Barack Obama himself, who misuse the machinery of the federal government for partisan political purposes.
Hey, and this Brennan guy, okay, he is a despicable character. And he's totally out of control. It's obvious he's feeling the heat, or no pun intended, he's feeling the burn. But the burn isn't coming from Bernie. The burn is coming from Donald.
And, you know, the odd thing about all this is that this is a scandal that they probably could have gotten away with if they had simply taken the election of 2016 in stride, licked their wounds, and just gotten ready for the 2018 midterms and eventually the 2020 campaign, they would have been in much, much better shape than they are now. Recent polls have come out indicating that a huge majority of the American population, frankly, never cared about the Russian collusion scandal in the first place. But now, apparently, that it's obvious that machinery of the federal government was abused for political purposes, that is something the public now seems to be caring about, and that can have devastating effects on the Democrat chances, both in 2018 as well as in 2020. There's a canary in the coal mine situation occurring. You're starting to see some longtime Democrats, including those who were at one point connected to Bill Clinton, guys like Mark Penn, famous for being part of the Penn and Schoen polling firm, who are now talking about how bad this scandal is. Not the Russian collusion scandal, but the collusion of the intelligence services and Department of Justice with the Democrat Party in an attempt to really overturn the results of the 2016 campaign.
Oh, so this isn't the Penn from Penn and Teller then, huh?
No, that's a different Penn.
Watch,
you're absolutely right.
Watch this hand. Watch this one.
In the way that the politicians on the Democrat Party have misinterpreted this whole thing, they might as well be comedians, because this is backfiring in a way I think they never expected.
Well, look, if you were writing the book, I always go back to one of my favorite authors, Mark Twain, who said, "Truth is stranger than fiction. Fiction is limited by the imagination, and truth isn't."
Well said, Mark Twain.
Yeah, so I mean, this is going to come out, isn't it? Your guess, it's all going to come out. The FBI, the higher ranks of the FBI, CIA, I don't think the NSA, Admiral Rogers, he was the one who blew the whistle on it. He might very well come down as the hero in this drama, but the Director of National Intelligence, Office of the Director of National Intelligence, Clapper, what a name, and all of these people, as well as Hillary Clinton, as well as the Podesta Molesta brothers, the whole bunch of them look like they're set to be taken down, don't they?
Yeah, they certainly do. I mean, look, there's very little defense that they have against all this. And part of the problem that they're facing, too, is that when it comes to policy achievements, it seems that the current administration, the Trump administration, is making some success in areas that appeal to the Democrat base. If you look, for example, at the ongoing negotiations with China, which directly affects American middle-class workers, that's something that appeals to the Democrat base. So you're seeing a whole-scale, I think, change in the political landscape in the United States. When you look at the 2016 campaign, when West Virginia, Pennsylvania, and Michigan went for the Republican candidate, you're seeing a Democrat Party that perhaps is divorced itself from its own base in many ways. A few days ago, I had the opportunity to speak with one of our colleagues, Charles Butler, who runs a great radio show out of Chicago,
happens to be a Black American, and talked about how the effects of Obama's immigration policy devastated Black America. Now, we come into the second year of the Trump administration, and we see Black unemployment has been reduced to its lowest level pretty much on record. So you see this alienation of the Democrat rank and file with the Democrat leadership. But it goes beyond that as well. Jewish Americans have been staunch supporters of the Democrat Party. Clearly, in the leadership of the Democrat Party, which includes as its vice chair, Keith Ellison, who is clearly an anti-Semite, a real rejection of some of the staunchest supporters of the Democrat Party. We saw that recently also in the strange reaction the Democrat leadership had to President Trump's fulfilling a law passed in 1995 by Congress and supported by all presidents, Democrat and Republican, to move the United States Embassy to the capital of Israel, which of course is in Jerusalem. And by the way, Kerry, just on that topic alone, if we look at the press coverage of the events surrounding the opening of that embassy, isn't it rather shocking how badly those reports were delivered? Palestinian protesters who had in their possession light weapons like rifles and handguns, and also explosives and even hand grenades, an open weapon of warfare. Yet we were told on all the media reports that these were peaceful protests against the opening of the embassy in Jerusalem. An opening, by the way, that did nothing to change the actual status quo in Jerusalem. Not one inch of territory changed hands. Palestinians still had the stronghold in East Jerusalem, Israelis, of course, in West Jerusalem. But that's not the reports that we got from the media itself.
Of course not. Yeah, why would you expect the media to tell the truth about anything, right? So where's this investigation heading here? And is this going to lead to the implosion of the Democratic Party?
I don't know if it'll lead to the implosion of the Democrat Party, but it might lead to the implosion of the Democrat Party leadership. Look, they faced a couple of they're facing actually a couple of major problems. Number one, as we just discussed, the alienation of their own base. How long can that actually continue? Number two, the Democrat rank and file was never as radical as the current leadership of the Democrat Party. I've always felt that liberal Democrats and conservative Republicans, even at the two extremes of those two groups, basically had the same eventual goals. They just had different ideas of how to get there. But what we're seeing in the rise of the Bernie Sanders wing of the Democrat Party, of the Tom Perez wing of the Democrat Party, we're seeing something totally different, a rejection of the fundamental essence of what the United States is all about. A capitalist society, a society that believes, by the way, in keeping the nation strong and out of danger. You don't see that in the Obama, Tom Perez, Bernie Sanders wing of the Democrat Party. The other challenge, of course, is one that's a lot more elemental. It's in the corruption that we've seen within the Democrat Party that pretty much began with the Clinton presidency going back to the 1990s. The scandals that Bill Clinton was engaged in, and I don't mean the sex scandals, I mean the pay-for-play scandals, have really warped the Democrat Party. In Russia, in the old days of the Soviet Union, and perhaps to some extent now under different guises, Soviet officials didn't run the Soviet Union. Communist Party officials ran the Soviet Union. In Nazi Germany, German politicians didn't run the German state. It was the Nazi Party that ran the German state. In the United States, under the Clinton era, it wasn't so much elected Democrat officials that ran the Democrat Party and the nation when they were in power. It was the Clinton Foundation with its financial hooks into so many different politicians and so many levers of power. That's kind of coming to an end. It's something the Democrat Party has to deal with. In some ways, it has to reinvent itself from the bottom up. Perhaps politicians like Joe Manchin and others who are more centrist and who have been more divorced from Clinton control will have to finally find a way to exert their influence and retake the Democrat Party.
Yeah, how likely do you think that is?
It's going to be rough, and it's going to be rough for one particular reason. We recently saw this with Donna Brazile's support of the superdelegate process within the Democrat Party. Let's go back to the 2016 primary period in both the Democrat and Republican Party. And it's a fascinating contrast. Donald Trump was extremely, and remains to some extent, extremely unpopular with Republican leadership. Yet, because the Republican primaries were a more open process, contrary to the wishes of the party bosses, Donald Trump was able to win the Republican nomination. Let's compare that with what happened in the Democrat primaries. Clearly, and despite the fact that I totally disagree with everything he stands for, it was obvious that Bernie Sanders started to represent a much more enthusiastic following within the Democratic Party. And yet, the Clinton campaign was able to manipulate the rules, sometimes above board, sometimes below board, to make sure that the Bernie Sanders campaign was sabotaged. Now, you've got to think that there's going to be a lot of anger within the Democrat Party that their process is not open enough to reflect the wishes of Democrat officials, of Democrat rank and file. Donna Brazile recently supported the concept of superdelegates within the Democrat Party. These are party officials. If you know a little bit of New York Yiddish, they used to call them Alternachers, that have no real role, that haven't basically don't have a particular point of power, except that they're given the power to cast votes, even though they haven't been voted in by anybody, by any of their voters, and they can warp the results of what the popular movement within the Democratic Party actually wants. And it's worked two ways. It's worked against those on the left of the Democrat Party in the Bernie Sanders camp, and those who are sort of on the right of the Democrat Party, who might be represented by politicians like, say, Joe Manchin.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So they've got to kind of get their act together here, or they're going to become irrelevant, aren't they?
Indeed. You know, you wonder how some of the great Democrat politicians in the past would have had absolutely no role. In fact, would have been kicked out of the Democrat Party. There would have been no place for a John Kennedy in this Democrat Party. There would be no place for a Daniel Patrick Moynihan or a Harry Truman in this party. So something has got to change if they are going to survive. Some of the pundits are beginning to relook at the predictions for 2018. Remember, at one point, there was a 20-point separation between the generic poll for Democrats as opposed to Republicans. It looked as though the Democrats were going to have a landslide in 2018. Now that's down to basically a margin of error percentage, and some are predicting that it's going to go even further down for the Democrats. So we're going to see some interesting times ahead.
I think you're right, and I think people are going to want to find out more about this. Where's the best place to go to find your work, Frank, and to keep up with you?
Kerry, thanks for asking. It's at usagovpolicy.com.
usagovpolicy.com. Got it. All right. Hey, and like I said, make my day. Send me an email, kl@kerrylutz.com. KL@KerryLutz.com, Twitter feed @KerryLutz, Facebook page Financial Survival Network. Frank, thanks for coming on. We'll talk to you real soon.
Kerry, I look forward to our next discussion.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to FinancialSurvivalNetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.